Good evening, Abbas. Good evening. I remembered yesterday, I reminded myself of a story yesterday. I heard this story from a mchutn of ours, Reb Tzvi Greenhouse, in Mashkiach in Kfar Chassidim. He, by Simcha, a few years ago, he said a story. I believe this, in the meantime, I heard this Tunis Chos, had a story bring about Abraham Zonfeld, Rav Yerushalayim, and Achmas Tifke Rebbe. It's about the same years, but a different person. And the story goes like this. We talked yesterday about the halacha that the difference between a metzia, that if it's a metzia, if you find something, you're not allowed to, that is a distinction. If it's your own money, which you're traveling with, and you're getting stuck on Shabbos, then you're allowed to damir l'nochi, you're allowed to tell a goy to look after it. But if it's a metzia, something, an item is found property, then you wouldn't be able to you wouldn't be able to do that. You can't ask a goy to do a melacha for you because it's not yours yet. So there's a distinction between something which is yours and something which is a metzia, something which is a found item which is not yours yet. So based on that, that reminded me of the following story. As a boy in the times of we lived in Yerushalayim in absolute poverty, a cheder boy who used to make a point. He learned in cheder me'asharim. Now from me'asharim, as we know, it's not such a long walk to the coastal, especially if you go in the, it depends which way you go really, but it's walkable from me'asharim to go to, it depends shayafo, it depends which gate you, how you go into the Altstadt. But if you go through to the coastal, it's not so far. And he walked on Shabbos. He made a point of walking every Shabbos to the coastal. This boy was like around bar mitzvah, just before bar mitzvah, and he used to make a point of going to the on Shabbos to walk down. It wasn't particularly dangerous in those days, and walk back on Shabbos like in the afternoon, and mincha time to go back and to be back on time mincha in me'asharim. To go to the coastal to say a little tell him and walk back. And this particular Shabbos, he walked, this boy walked, and upon his return, he walked to the Arab quarter, and it wasn't dangerous, you know, it's become much more dangerous over the last so and so many years. And as he walked past, he noticed on the floor, he noticed a something shiny. He was going through the Arab quarter, and as he walked past this, he noticed it looked something shiny on the floor. And you have to realize the poverty of this. But he noticed on the floor, he sees something shiny, looks out, and he sees it was a dinner, what's called in the Arab, it was worth a lot of money, the equivalent of a few hundred pounds. Really a lot of money. It was the highest coin that existed in the, and that's what he saw on the floor. It was Shabbos afternoon. And he knew very well the halacha was that, this was a fortune, an absolute fortune. He lived in poverty. He had no money. His siblings, his parents, they were literally hungry. They were hungry, literally hungry. And he saw this fortune lying on the floor on Shabbos. He had gewaldig cheshek to be mati. He knew the halachas that, you know, if you do less than dalet amas at a time, or you take it kelachayat, all these things. But he knew that it's not really, you can't really do it on Shabbos. But nevertheless, he had, the yetzor was burning in him. And he didn't have to do it for his own sake, but for the family's sake. This is a fortune lying on the floor over here, which is very obviously hefka. He didn't know what to do. And then he decided, you know what, the best, I can't be over on Issa, so if he just walks away from it, he can't just walk away. So he decided at the end of the day, it's Shabbos afternoon, Motzei Shabbos in a couple of hours. What he's going to do, he's going to stand on it until Motzei Shabbos. He's going to stand on it. If he stands in, nobody can take it away. And like this, he's going to be safe. And like this, Motzei Shabbos, he'll be able to take it as soon as Motzei Shabbos, when he sees that it gets dark. He's a clever idea, you know, and he'll have to stand on it. And he stood on it. And it was okay for 5 minutes. It was okay for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. But after a bit of time, after half an hour, caught attention of an Arab little boy on the side. And the Arab little boy was curious to see, what's this cheder boy over here, this Yiddish boy over here? What is he doing over here? Klotzing around, looking at nothing. And just klotzing and waiting for, and standing like a golem, like this, not doing a thing. So he was looking, and then it was like really getting dark. It wasn't very long to Motzei Shabbos. And this Arab boy then came, and he noticed that he very obviously must be standing on something. And he gave him that big push. And as it falls away, the Arab boy sees this golden coin on the floor. And he grabs it, and he takes it, and he runs away, never to be seen again. You can imagine how devastated and frustrated and terribly upset this boy was, and he couldn't cope. So he walked in tears, literally in tears. He walked home, but he couldn't face going home, and he was too upset. He just thought that he was going to save his family from poverty for a good few weeks, maybe even months. And they're going to have something to eat, something proper to eat. They're going to have clothing for a bit. And it was a fortune. And he knew the value of that money. And he was completely ois mensch, as we say in Yiddish. He was ois mensch. He couldn't face going home. So he went to the Beis Medrash. He went to the Beis Medrash. And he went to the back. And he cried in the back of the Beis Medrash. And there, now that's, I'm not sure who approached him. So some say it was Chaim Zonfeld, the Yerushalayim Rav. Sechet Tzadik V'Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rebbe Chaim Zonfeld, Yerushalayim Rav. Was on the Gedolei Yerushalayim in those years, Nifta in the 1930s. He was an incredible tzaddik. Or some say it was Achmas Tifka tzaddik. You choose. You pick your choice you prefer. Achmas Tifka Rebbe was also a very, 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 very special person. So he was one of those two tzaddikim for sure. Went up to him and he said, what's the matter? And he refused to answer. It's a boy that he didn't particularly know. Maybe knew him a little bit, but didn't know him. So he said, well, what happened? He refused to answer initially, but after a bit of push and he told him what happened. Told him I went to the coast, on the way back, coin on the floor and everything, and I looked after it, and I didn't want to take it. I couldn't get that step until the Arab pushed me. It was gone forever, and that's it. So this very wise tzaddik, and listened very carefully, and he said, so you didn't take it? He said, no, I didn't take it. He said, why not? Because he said, well, it's also on Shabbos. Then he says, do you know what is this? Do you think this is the mitzvah that you did? And he says, yeah, I suppose it is a mitzvah. So I tell him, okay, you know, let me make a bargain with you. I want to make a bargain with you. You know, this the mitzvah that you did by not picking this up, yeah, not over. I'll give you. I want to pay for you, and I want to buy this mitzvah off you. Can I give you? And then he gave him the equivalent from his pocket. He had stocker money. Money had money with him, and he says, I want to give this the equivalent coin of the same value, the same coin, the same value that he had in his pocket, and he gave it to the boy. He said, I'm going to give you that coin now of that value if you give me the reward of that mitzvah. Oh, should we make that deal? And then the boy suddenly lit up, and he gave that smile. He said, no way. And he walked away. And that was the Gaonis, because the realization and understanding that the value of a mitzvah is far greater than he thought he had lost something at. But this tzaddik made the boy understand that the value of a mitzvah is far greater than the financial value of it. Far greater. Far, far greater. This is such a beautiful story, such a deep story, such an important story. That the value of the mitzvah, it's not financial value, but the value of the mitzvah is far greater than the financial loss that he had done. So it wasn't actually a loss, but it was actually a gain. And he was very clever enough to teach that to that boy. And the boy was clever enough to understand it, that had he taken the money, he would have actually lost something out because of the value of the mitzvah, which is far greater than that. So this is what I remember over here by going through this halacha. Okay, the schos of these highly gedolim should be with us. So now it sounds more like Chaim Zonfeld, or so it sounds more like a Achmas Tifka Rebbe. Now what does it sound like? No, it's Chaim Zonfeld. Rabbi said, today we're going to learn Sif Beis, which is the straight on continuation of Sif Aleph, what we covered yesterday. And it's again about this Mishaykh Shelcho Baderech, somebody who turned on Shabbos and he's stuck and he suddenly realizes, what should I do with the coins that I have, the money that I have? And Sif Beis is going to tell us what happens if there's no goy available. Sif Beis, we said initially the best he can do is to give it to the goy. We said Amir Lenochi is muta in this particular case. Amir Lenochi asked a goy to do melochi is fine in this particular case. Chachomim were matir. The question is, what if there's no goy available? So what should you do? You should put it on the second best is to put it on the animal. Now we're going to be learning something interesting, that even when you put it on the animal, we're now going to go into a very important area of halacha, which is the halacha of mechama and shvitas behema. Yes, there are halachas about the animal, the keeping of an animal, and we're going to penetrate the halachas of shvitas behema, the owning of an animal, mechama, which is the leading an animal. Before we do so, we need to just remind ourselves of some key concepts, and that's the beginning of Masechet Shabbos. We speak about the melacha of hoitzah. So I need to just speak about that for a minute, just to have to gain absolute clarity in this halacha over here. There's one of the 39 melachas, as we know, is the melacha of hoitzah. carrying on Shabbos. Carrying on Shabbos has three parts. And that is Akira, Holocha, and Hanocha. So there's three parts. One is Akira, which means the lifting up of an item. That's the first mission in Shabbos. Every Melech HaZotzah contains three parts. One is the lifting up. That's to carry the starting of the melacha. He actually to walk into a different domain, or for dalat amos and rishus rabim, and then afterwards you have to put it down, which is the hanocha. So akira, the walking, and the hanocha, the lifting up, the walking, and the putting down. If any of the three parts are not fulfilled, you're not over on the melacha zoytzah medoraisa. But that's the first mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. Yeah, you learn Masechet first mishnah in Shabbos. There's three parts of the melacha. Now. Again, you need to have three things, Akira, Olach, and Anocha, to be over on a Melachot Eraisa. Interestingly, there's no Mefurosh Simen Shulchan Aruch that speaks as explicitly as about this, at this Halacha over here now. So there's Akira, Olach, and Anocha. Importantly, we mentioned yesterday, there's an Isra Eraisa of Shvisas Behema. That not only you are not allowed to do melachos on Shabbos, but similarly also your animal also. And we discussed that if the animal carries a load for you, you are over on a melacha, on a isa deraisa of shvisas behema, because the animals must rest, your animals must rest. If the animals do melacha for you, like carrying a load for you on Shabbos, you are over on isa teira. So in other words, if you put loads on an animal, you have a donkey, or a cat, or a dog, or whatever it may be, and you load it with something, and it's walking for you, it's schlepping the load from one area to another domain for you, you're having Issa Teira. Don't say, oh, I haven't done anything. What do you mean you haven't done anything? You've been over on Issa Teira of Shvisas Behemah. So we need to define the melacha of carrying for Shvisas Behemah. We need to define it. Because just as much as the melacha of Oitzah by man has three parts. Is that also true with regards to the carrying of an animal in order to be on Shvisas Behema? Does he also have three parts? Yes or no? Does he also need the lifting up of the animal? Or well, the animal lifting up the load, the animal carrying the load, and the animal stopping and putting it down again, or not? Is it the same or is it not the same? In order to be on Melach on the Issa Torah of Shvisas Behema. Does the animal, as you need to lift it up, carry it and stop again, and like kind of putting it down? Or is that not necessary in order to be over on Shvisas Behema? The Behema working. It does the Melacha. So you say that you should need all the three elements equally.
Yeah.
And indeed, you're quite right. It's absolutely true. In order to be over on the melacha of Shvisas Behema, not only a man needs to have three parts, Akira, Holocha, Hanocha, but also the animal that is doing the load in order to be over on the Issa Torah, he also needs the three parts. And that's what we're going to be seeing now. Habay Sadat, this is Siv Beis. Im Ein, Emoi, Ein Yehudi. If there is no goy available, and Shabbos come in, you want to put somewhere your loads. Menichol Chamori, you should put in a new donkey. Vekedei, and in order, shelo yechayev, in order he shouldn't be chayev on a Torah level, mishum mechamer, pirish manik is a chamer, mechamer is similar and comparable to Shvis Behem. I'm going to differentiate them in a minute. For the moment, we're going to just assume that it's within the same category, within the same umbrella. Shvis Behem and Issa Mechamer is comparable. So in order to be oivon mechamer, pirish manik is a chamer, leading the loaded animal, you need to have an akira, an uprooting, and a putting down. Menichoi, what you meant to do is put the load on the animal, after the animal has started to walk. Yod v'regel alechas, the love, akira. It's not an akira. And just about when it's about to stop, it's trot. Is that what it's called, a trot? It's walk. What is it called? Animals don't walk. Animals trot. Trot? Yeah. Okay, so if we're talking about donkeys, it's going to be trotting. Yeah, how do you spell that? I don't know the word. Trotting, T-R-O-T-T? Yeah? Double T? Okay, double T. So if, is that okay for a donkey? A donkey trots? Okay. Waddle?
That's double D instead of double T.
Okay. But, so that's more accurate? Well, okay, and for our donkeys, it's probably it's trot. Donkeys? Trot, yeah? Okay, so, v'kshiyoy medes, and when it's just about to stop to trot, noit le'emenu, that's when you take it away. V'lach sh'tachze v'tak ragle'e nichanu. So, Rabbi Isai, we're learning now. Okay, we are now, Shabbos has come in. He has got his rucksack and his bag and his suitcase and his things. And he needs to, what should he do with it on Shabbos? So ideally, he should ask a goy, as discussed yesterday. The goy is not available, he's not around. Or, as the Mishnah Berurah says, by the way, if he doesn't have any trustworthy goyim around, there's nobody there that he actually relies on. So there's nobody there, he can't give it to a goy. So what should he do? He should give it to an animal. Now, don't put it on the animal. The animal is static. And then you put it on the animal now. And then you give it a poop, and then it starts to trot. No, because then what you're doing is the animal is making for you an akira with a load on, a hoilocha, and then when it's going to stop, it's going to make a hanocha for you. So in other words, the animal has done all three steps, all three parts, akira, hoilocha, hanocha for you, which is a shvitz beim, which is isa deraisa. So rather, what you should do, get the animal to move beforehand. Hadid, the animal should trot already. And then when an animal is walking, then you put the load on it. It's not a proper akira. And then it's walking. And then just before it's about to stop, you pull it away again. And then when it's pulled away, you know, it's not doing an akira with it. And therefore, it's far less. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's only the rabbanon. And then it's... Yeah, it's still shvitz behema. It's still shvitz behema. Yeah, you're right. It's a shvitz behema on the rabbanon level. It's far better. It felt something. It's not. Why not?
Because
Behemoth
didn't really do anything.
It did as it were an Issa Rabbanon. Correct, and that's an Issa Rabbanon. Yeah, that's what you should do. So that's what Mishnah Berurah says.
Why is Daladam and Mishnah not considered Malacha with
Neatma? Okay, so the answer to that question is that you're making an assumption, which some Rishonim Achronim do, but you're making an assumption that that it doesn't need a Kira Noche in Futala Damas Bushes Rabbin.
Right.
Okay, and that's we can comfortably say, according to most Shittas, it needs also a Kira Noche for Futala Damas Bushes Rabbin. Okay, Rabbi, so we're continuing. Some say, do not lead any animals when there's a load on it. So don't, you can't just push it and lead it and pull it when there's a load on it, because that, you're going to be over on Issa Mechama, which is connected to Shvitz Behema. Even by shouting and screaming at an animal, go, 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 or you're pushing and screaming in any language, by crying out to the animal, that you're not allowed to do, because you're leading the animal, which is Issa Mechame. Obviously, you're not allowed to ride the donkey on Shabbos. Just walk on its side. If you need to go out of the tchum, if you are worried about robbers and dangers, then you should not go out of the tchum. If you're in a dangerous situation, obviously if it's dangerous, you can go on the donkey and you can ride on it. If it's dangerous, if you're in sakana, you can go on the donkey. But obviously, otherwise, if there's no real danger involved, walk on the side of the animal and not on it. Okay, Rabbi Issa, we are up to Siv Gimel. See, if Gimel tells us, okay, so you've got now, you're in a slightly different situation. It's Shabbos coming, you've got your rucksack, and you've got your laptop, and you've got your purse. But you're not on your own. You are accompanied by a chamoy, a donkey. You're accompanied by a cheresh, by somebody who is chalila deaf, and deaf and dumb, that's right. Shoite, somebody who is not... not intelligent. What's the correct way, politically correct way of saying it today?
Non-compass mentalist.
Pardon?
Non-compass
Non-compartmentals, is that? Okay, fine. The cotton and a miner. So he's accompanied by a chamoy, a donkey, a cheresh, a shoite, and a cotton. What shall he do? Yani, what's the best? What's the least of the problems? What's the least of the? Where should he put the load? On a cheresh, on a chamoy, on a donkey? Should he put on a cheresh, deaf and dumb? Shoite, a non. One second. Non corpus mentus? Okay. What? Corpus mentus. Okay. The cotton and the child. What's the best? Says Shulchanuch, Yanichen ola chamoyer, put it on the donkey, v'loit nen ola echad me'elu. The best place to put it is on the donkey. The donkey, after all, is the least issa and the least problem. Why? Mishnah Berurah explains, if cotton, you'd have first white line. Shehem b'nei. The donkey is very obviously not a human, and he's definitely on a different league and a different category than the cheresh. Don't give it to the cheresh. At the end of the day, he's a person, and a shoite and a cotton, they're all humans, and they're all on a different world, on a different category, on a different league than the donkey. So put it on the donkey, but do not give it to the cheresh, shoite, and cotton. Right. Now, what happens though, if you have no donkey? You have a cheresh, shoite, only cheresh and a shoite. What's the best to do? What's the cheresh and a shoite? What's the best? Who should you give it to? What's the least transgression? Cheresh or shoite? Shoite? You should give it to the shoite? Or to the cheresh? Shoite. Shulchan Aruch says that, ha'im cheresh v'shoite, if you have a cheresh and a shoite near you, you should give it to Yitnenu L'Shoite, give it to L'Shoite. Levi Sha'en L'Yidas Klal. A Cheresh has very limited Das, as Mishnah Berurah says, Aval Cheresh Da'at Klishta Islei. He has very weak and very poor Das, but it's still Das. A deaf and dumb, it's a lack of communication. He's got no sensible way of communicating, or very limited way of communicating. And that's what by Cheresh, it could be that he's very clever, and it could be that he's very clever, but we learn that, but what the Torah tells us, according to Mos Poskim, what the Torah tells us is that communication is paramount, is essential for Das. It's communication, and if a person is unable to communicate in a sensible way, then he's lacking Das, by definition. So he could be a genius in a way, but as far as Das, Torah Das is concerned, he's lacking. Yeah, but it's interesting because I know the Mefarshim, the Poskim speak about if they have other ways of communicating. What if they have, if they've learned other ways of communicating? Pardon? Yeah, could be. It's a Machloek, it's a Poskim. It could be. What do you think? Yeah. But a shoite, however, a shoite is not an intelligent person. He's got das klish, he's less than das. He's got no das at all, and therefore you should give it to the shoite rather than to the cheresh. So therefore, you are saying that. So, you're right. I hear that, but nevertheless, I still feel I can still understand. Yeah, but he's still better. Whatever the situation is, a cheresh is still better than a shoite, than that kind of shoite. A cheresh has probably more understanding than a shoite, even the shoite you're describing. Yeah. If it's what? That's a good question. If it's itim shoite, and at that particular point is what? No, no. So normally, when Chazal speak about an itim shoite and itim not a shoite, then it's normally identifiable. Yeah, itim shoite, and let's say at this point, I don't know. It's a good question. Something about. That's a good question. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we learned tonight the halachas of if no yid is available, you give it to the chamoyer, and try to give it the chamoyer in a way that the chamoyer is not doing in akira or loch and anocha, but rather in a way that there is no oitzah in its purest sense. We learned that you should definitely not ride on the animal unless there's a sakona. Sakona can ride in it, but otherwise do not ride in it. And we learned that if there's a chamoyer chereshoyta v'kotn around, you should give it to the chamoyer. And if there is a chereshoyta only, then you should give it to the shoyta because it's got no das at all. Good evening and good Shabbos, Rabbi Isai.